Dr. Noviak, Reel 1. Where were you born, please?
I was born in Kiev on the 1st of October, 1918.
If you were born in the Ukraine, were you from a Polish family?
Yes. So I was from the mixed family, really, because my mother was married to my father and he was a Russian officer.
So what language did you grow up speaking?
I was speaking Polish.
Did you know any other languages?
When I was little, well, no. I picked up a little bit of Russian later on.
What were the family circumstances? Were they rich or poor or what?
Well, I should imagine they were just middle class. My mother's family was rather rich, and my father, because he came from Russia and he was officer from the White Army, at that time, he hasn't had anything. He didn't have anything. And we had a terrible time, really, because I was born in Kiev and my mother had to come back with me from Kiev to Poland in 1919. I was very little.
Did your parents tell you anything about what happened to them in the Russian Civil War?
Yes, later on. But the real trouble was, you know, that my parents got divorced very early in the marriage. I must have been 3.
So where did you grow up in Poland?
I've grown up in Poland in Wołyń, some of it, until I was about 7. Then afterwards I came to Modlin, which was not far from Warsaw, because my mother then by that time got married to the Polish officer.
Did you have your education in Modlin?
No, I didn't. I started my education in Warsaw. I should think I had a little bit of education, a primary one, and in Warsaw I was in the convent. I was educated in convent Nazaretanki in Warsaw.
Did you, whilst you were at school, have the ambition to go into medicine?
Yes, from the very beginning.
How did you go about it?
Well, I was just studying, and then when I, in 1936, when I got my matriculation, I passed the exam, entry exam to the university, and I was accepted.
Which university?
Warsaw. And I studied there 3 years, until 1939.
Did you successfully pass all your exams?
I did indeed.
Did you start working before the war started?
No. I didn't start working. I was at university. How could I?
When war broke out?
Yes, I was still at the university. But I don't know whether you do know that one of the first things what Germans done, they've closed the university.
Now, on the 1st of September 1939,
yes.
Can you tell me what happened to you on that day?
Yes, yes, I think I can tell you what happened to me on that day. We were full of anticipation, really, because we were expecting the war and yet not to believing in it that it would happen. But in the middle of the night, we were woken up by the bombs. The bombs were started to be dropped on Warsaw at that time, at about very early in the morning. And it started. And I was young and stupid, and I didn't realize how terrible it is, really. And quite a lot of people of my generation were the same. And there were actually, we were rejoicing in the fact that the war started, because there was quite a lot of misunderstanding between Poland and Germany over Gdańsk and this, that, and the other, and we knew that it was coming. But very soon we realized how wrong we were in rejoicing in it.
So you thought Germany could be defeated quickly?
Oh, yes, of course we did. We did. And when on the 3rd of September England and France declared that they are going to come in to war, we just rejoiced. Absolutely. I remember that day very vividly now. We went onto the streets and we shouted and shouted. And we were quite certain that everything will be lovely.
What, if anything, did you see of the actual fighting?
Well, at that moment, I joined the hospital as a nurse. And I stayed in that hospital, so I have seen the wounded, but I haven't seen the fighting.
Were you dealing with wounds yourself?
Yes, I was.
Were there proper facilities for handling
wounds? I was in a hospital, a proper hospital that. That was in Warsaw, in proper hospital, so they were facilitated, obviously. On the tail. I mean, I stayed in Warsaw only until 7th of September. Because on 7th of September, my stepfather, who was a colonel in Polish Army, and he was very near the government, he came up and he said that unfortunately we'll have to go and travel and go away from Warsaw.
Where to?
Probably towards Romania. I mean, towards the southern border, because they realized that it is very, very difficult. It was very difficult to continue with the war. So they realized that, or they believed that the government should go away and try to fight later on.
How far did you get?
We get to go into the same place where I was a child, in Orzhev, that was near Klevan. And we stayed there.
What did you see on the way?
I've seen terrible things. I've seen the roads being absolutely blocked with the people who were traveling. I've seen terrible quarrels and terrible misunderstandings between the people who had a right of way and not had the right of way. I've seen the German bombers that came and bombed us on the way. And I've had such a grim and such a terrible memories of that particular day, of that particular journey. I don't want to think about it. I don't want to recollect it at all. That was worse of everything. I mean, at that time, I was quite certain that I was actually in the coffin. That my life is finished. There is nothing for me or for anybody else.
Do you think the German aircraft knew that they were attacking civilians?
Of course they knew. Of course they knew. They enjoyed it.
Do you think it would have been better to have stayed in the same place?
What do you mean by better? You must remember I was 20. And you must remember about all the bitterness in me, all the tragedy, it was something you just cannot express. You cannot tell how it was. I mean, even now, I would like to cry. And I can talk about uprising without this at all. But this was terrible. Because that was the defeat of something that you didn't think it would be ever defeated. It was the end of everything. And what's more, I didn't think I wanted to go. I wanted to stay in Warsaw.
What's happened when you actually got there?
What happened when I got there, that was on 17th of September, the Russian came. And by this time, my mother has gone with my stepfather to Romania. And I stayed behind.
So you were in the Russian zone of occupation?
Yes.
What did you see of the Soviets when they first came in?
Well, I've seen the Soviets. The army was terribly poorly dressed. They didn't do anything wrong. They didn't do anything. Obviously, I was quite prepared that they are going to. But they didn't at that time. That was 17th. And at that time, you know, on the 18th, I decided to go towards Warsaw. I started to go back.
Was it easy to evade the Soviet authorities?
They didn't. It was such a bedlam, really. Nobody knew what was happening. So the thing is, what I got myself on the train, and I went on the train. I didn't have any money. I borrowed some money from some acquaintances that were at that house at that time, and I made my way towards Białystok because I knew that my sister or my grandmother was there.
Why had you decided so quickly to return?
Because I thought in the first place I shouldn't have left Warsaw. So that was the terrible... I should think that I was just rebelling against against everything what was happening. I knew that Warsaw is still fighting, that I wanted to go back.
So on the 18th you got back to the capital, did you?
No, that takes much longer. I got myself to Białystok, not any further. And I don't know whether you know where Białystok is. Białystok is actually on the east of Poland. So it was still under the Russian jurisdiction at that time. Oh, it's quite a long story. I will never finish my life.
What happened at Białystok?
At Białystok, I went to my sister of my grandmother, who had the pharmacy up there, and she had a lot of people in her house because the people who have been displaced, they are all, you know, every Polish house which was still standing was actually keeping the people who were going either this way or that way, and they are just standing. So I was actually staying with her in her house, and there were quite a lot of other people as well, but because I was a cousin and relative, I had probably the better treatment than the other had. I remember I was having taken to the pantry and give her some dripping, and I still remember the taste of that dripping because I was very hungry. And I stayed in Białystok and I started to look for work because I realized that it's impossible for me to go to Warsaw. By this time, you know, the Warsaw was coming to the end of her fight. And it wasn't so easy to cross the border. So I stayed with my great aunt, as you could call it, and I stayed with her for a while, and then we decided to cross the frontier around about Christmas. But before that, I went through quite a lot of different things as well. I was employed in a hospital in Białystok as a nurse. And because the Russians were actually in command up there, they decided to put me on the venereal department. Yes, because they absolutely delighted in humiliating people of my similar to me. And then by this time I met my very good friend, who was with me on the university. She was at the same year as I was, because her father was a doctor in the hospital, which is not very far from Białystok. And when I met them, Irene and her mother, I met them in Białystok, not in that hospital anymore, because by this time they were taken by Russians. Irene's father was taken by Russians already, and taken away somewhere, and they were chased away from this hospital, and they stayed in Białystok. So I got to know, I found them, and I also Irene started to work in the same hospital as I was. We worked together, and during that time already, I started myself to organize the complex like that, you know, to. In order to educate the future nurses. So even at that early time, there was something going on. I was able to find them. I don't remember how, but I did. And I was still going, and I was doing the... I was actually leading this complete. But the thing like that, I went to Irene one day, and to her mother. They still stayed in a tiny little crummy little place, you know, the people who were very well off, and suddenly they were just reduced to nothing. Anyhow, and I was cooking for them. I remember making some kind of noodles, and the Russian king. And they said, you go with us to Irene with her mother. They opened the book and they said, that's Irene Deres, yes. Christel Deres, yes. You're going with me. And they took them away. And I absolutely gone berserk. I think that I must have been absolutely beside myself and I didn't know what I was doing. I started to shout and I started to blaspheme and to, I don't know what I started. I started to call them all names under the sun. And I said, take me with them. And they said, we haven't got you on the list, we can't. But they arrested me. They've taken them and they've arrested me. So I went into the prison, I stayed there for 24 hours. And I cooled off a little bit, but I was still very upset and very cross. And there was a Russian officer who started to talk to me. And he said, why did you do that? Well, you didn't mean anything. You didn't mean anything wrong, what you said. You didn't. You didn't offend the Soviet Union, did you? I said, I did. No, you didn't. And he had my card, you know, and on this card there was my photograph and my name, and it was said that I am a stepdaughter of a Polish governor. And when he was looking at this card, he was just covered. He covered it like this so he didn't see it. And he said, oh, well, I think that you're perfect. All right, you may go. And that was that. So I went back to that hospital. And we had a very memorable conversation because by this time I talked Russian a little bit. And I talked to one Soviet doctor. He was about 25. He wasn't a politruk or anything of that description. He was just a normal doctor who was there. And he was quite nice, and we started to talk. And I said, why, what are you doing? I know you don't like Germans. I know you are not going to... Oh, that is only temporary arrangement. We're going to turn against the Germans very soon. I said, is that it? That was 19th of October. I remember very well the date. And I said, oh, yes, is that what you are going to do? And he said, yes. And what is going to be your next step? Oh, the next step will be Berlin. And what will be the next step? London. And what will be the next step? The whole world. Otherwise, if we don't conquer the whole world, we'll perish. And that was 19th of October.
1939?
1939. Russian soldier. And I was Russian doctor. And I don't know how they put up with me, because I was... They once, you know, they've done the... some kind of the reception or something like this in the hospital. And because he knew, and they knew that I was a medical student, so the doctors were in one room and all the auxiliary staff in another. And I was with the doctors. And I just didn't care tuppence what was going to happen to me. I was so in such a terrible state that I just didn't care. And I started to shout. I said, do you call it equality? Look at it. You are sitting here, I am sitting here, and the other people, the workers, are sitting next to me. What kind of equality? It's a farce. And he used to say in Russian, Sofia Nikolaevna, почему вы не довольны? That means in Russian, Sofia Nikolaevna, because my name is Sofia, and my father's name was Nikolai, Sofia Nikolaevna, почему вы не довольны? Why you are not pleased? I don't understand. But they put up with me. I don't know how. I was just impossible. And in the end, round about Christmas, we decided to go and cross the frontier. With my great aunt as well. Myself. Yes, actually the two of us, more or less. So we went to the frontier and we were seen by a guide who is going to take us across. That was in the middle of the night. It was very cold. And we went, it must have been about 1 o'clock in the morning, I think. And we went across very near the frontier. And then the guide said, we can't do it tonight, got to go back. So we went back again. And the next day, next night, we crossed. And my great aunt, she was able to speak German quite well. Because, I'll tell you why, because my mother's family, some of it was German, some of it. And my great aunt was speaking very well German. So when we got to the German side, the Russian didn't catch us, but the Germans, of course, they did. And so she managed to get her way out of it somehow. And we let us go. They let us go to another sister of my grandmother, who had a little mandal, I should think. It wasn't a farm, it was something in the middle. You know what the little dvorek was? Do you know dvorek?
I think so. Like an estate.
Yes, like an estate. And that was not very far from the other estate, but a little bit, you know. And it was in Koretnica, which was near Węgrów. It's another town in Poland. And then we stayed there for a while.
How did conditions in German-occupied Poland compare with conditions in Soviet-occupied Poland then?
In what way? What do you think? What do you mean? Right. I mean, for example, talking about the food. I should imagine that it was probably similar. I didn't stay long enough.
And
in the Russian occupied zone, did I? Because I stayed actually from what? From 17th of September to December. So that wasn't very long.
I was thinking about the interference in your life from the authorities.
I don't think that I can talk about any kind of life in the Soviet occupied zone, really. Because I was passing. You know, I somehow I managed to get myself to find a job. I had the place to live because I stayed with my great aunt. So I wasn't actually opened to all that trouble and all that questions. And in any case, at 20, and I think that I was in such a bad emotional state that I wouldn't be able to tell you exactly what happened. I'm telling you things which are stick up out in my memory. But I, for example, I don't remember how I got to know the people who contacted me with the underground army, because by that time I was already involved.
So you got as far as settling on this estate.
Yes.
What happened to you then?
Then I decided to go to Warsaw to find my father and my stepmother, because they were there. Up to that time, up to about 1939, I lived with my mother and with my stepfather mainly. And from 1939, from when I came back to Warsaw, I stayed with my father and with his wife, with my stepmother in Warsaw, because that's how I went to see them, and I met them. They were there at Kuchinska. And I stayed for 4 years with them.
Did you resume work?
University was closed. There were about 15 of us from the same year as myself. We just decided that we must do something. And we decided to go and become the nurses. So we just went to the Polish School of Nursing, and because we had 3 years of medicine, instead of 3 years of the course will last only 1 year. And 15 of us finished that course. I show you my photograph if you want to have a look.
We can look at it later.
Yeah, okay. And I was actually working as an operative sister in the operative theater in Polish hospital in Warsaw for about a year. But after that year, It must have been about 90, we were talking about 1940, 42. Around about 42, we decided that we've got to start to go to university, because by this time, the underground university got itself on its way. You understand? And my other colleagues and friends were already studying at this complex. So therefore, I went to the hospital and I worked like a technician in the hospital, in another hospital, not the one when I worked, where I worked like a nurse, but in another one. And I worked, actually, I was operating the ECG. And I worked with Professor Alexander, that was his name. And I started to pass the exams.
But this is all underground.
That was all underground. I mean, my work as a technician was open, but all my studying was clandestine, and it was punishable. And in the same, in 1942, I joined then the officially Polish Underground Army. I was sworn, and I started to organize the teaching of the girls to be involved as a nurses in case of uprising.
What did you have to swear?
I had to swear that I am going to be faithful to the Polish Underground Army, that I will not betray anybody, even if I am going to be killed.
Who swore you in?
But Mr. Prokop, that was his name. That was his actually, his, he wasn't, it wasn't his name, it was his, how do you call it, pseudonym, yes. We didn't know anybody. Now I know who he was.
What but was he?
Konopatsky, that was his name.
And what was his job?
He was in the Polish Army. I don't know what his job was, I have no idea. I mean, look, the less you know, the better. So, for example, I've had five of the girls which I taught about two or three times a week, and I never knew what their names was at all. And I started to pass the exams then. And when the uprising started, I had only three exams left. So I was practically a doctor already at that time.
Before the rising started, what was life like under German occupation in Warsaw?
Oh, the life was terrible, really. I mean, I don't know whether you realize that, for example, there was rations, you know, food rations. Germans were allowed to have 2,750 calories a day. And we were allowed 900. So how on earth did we manage to survive? I don't know. For example, the people who lived in Warsaw, they were actually fed by the people who were coming from outside Warsaw, and they were just smuggling the food into Warsaw. If they didn't do it, we would have absolutely died from hunger.
Did you ever get involved in any roundups on the street?
I wasn't, but I've seen one. Because the thing is, you know, you were, for example, we were traveling in the tram, and we were always